Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Christopher Jones Cruz, Anne Ball, Dan Friedel, Dorothy Gundy, and Anna Mateo. But first, Marcia James presents a story from the VOA Learning English series, People in America.
Maz Jobrani likes to make people laugh. The Iranian-American knew early in life that he wanted to become an actor or comedian. His path to stardom was a long journey. His immigrant story is not unusual. He was born in Iran's capital, Tehran, but grew up in America. Jobrani came to the U.S. when he was 6 years old, just before the Iranian Revolution in 1979. He and his parents moved to California, where he attended school. Jobrani says he grew up around a lot of people that made him laugh. His introduction to acting was an audition for a school play.
I was 12. I ended up trying out for the school play, and I fell in love with being on stage.
Jobrani says he had many friends who were funnier than he, adding to his interest in being a comedian.
A lot of my friends were the funny people in school. I have friends from when I grew up that were funnier than I was.
Jobrani tried a conventional career path, studying political science in college and even starting a PhD program at UCLA. But the comedy of Eddie Murphy was a more powerful influence.
The reason I'm a comedian is because I was a fan of comedy. I think what inspired that was Eddie Murphy, because back then I used to love watching comedy, and I believe I discovered Eddie Murphy probably by watching Saturday Night Live. And from there, I just wanted to be like Eddie Murphy.
Now, as a full-time comedian, Maz Jobrani uses comedy to bridge the cultural divide caused by Islamic extremism. His performances both ridicule that extremism and challenge American stereotypes of Muslims. And his recent movie does the same. Maz Jobrani co-wrote and stars in Jimmy Vestwood, American Hero. He says the film playfully makes fun of American preconceptions of the Middle East.
You know, most people, when they see people of Middle Eastern descent on film and television in America, they tend to see people in the news burning flags and protesting and being anti-American. We wanted to make a movie about a guy who loves America. He wins the green card lottery to come to America from Iran. He wants to be a cop like his hero Steve McQueen was back in the day when he used to watch Steve McQueen movies. But once he comes to America, he realizes that the America of the 21st century doesn't embrace immigrants the way he thought they would. And the only job he can find is working as a security guard at a Persian grocery store. And then from there, he's got to go on and save the world.
Jobrani also says the movie sends a message to Americans that they have not seen before.
I feel that this comedy does have a message. It's got a message of peace. It's got a message of diplomacy. More importantly, it's got a message of showing Iranians in a very different light than we're used to seeing Iranians. I show them in a fun light. I show them in a light that I don't think Americans, most Americans, are used to seeing.
Maz Jobrani can turn that which frightens him into something funny. For example, the comedian was alarmed when he first heard the phrase, axes of evil. President George Bush used the term to describe Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. But he soon realized it could also make a great name for a series of shows. So in 2005, the Axis of Evil comedy tour came to be. The shows featured Gibrani and three other comedians of Middle Eastern descent. The group first appeared on the American television channel Comedy Central. Gibrani says it is always a good feeling when people laugh at your jokes.
It's a good feeling because then you realize that it's working, it's relating. The worst feeling is when you are doing stand-up and for whatever reason there's a crowd that doesn't relate to you. Those are the nights when you just think to yourself, wow, I can't wait to get off the stage. But when they get you, it's a great feeling. It's probably one of the reasons you stay up there. It's this drug that keeps feeding you. It's kind of like what I would assume surfing could be, because every laugh is like a wave, and you just want to catch that wave and ride it out until the next laugh comes. So whether it's doing stand-up comedy or putting out a movie, your goal as a comedian is to make people laugh.
Life as a comedian has been good for Maz Gibrani. He has appeared in numerous films and television shows. He has toured much of the world and performed for the King of Jordan. Maz Gibrani also has a best-selling book, I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV. It tells the story about his life in a very funny way. I'm Marcia James.
For more of Marcia's interview with Maz Gibrani, including video, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein has been dead for almost 10 years. But his name came alive as Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump praised Hussein's dealing with suspected terrorists.
Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, right? He was a bad guy, really bad guy. But you know what he did well? He killed terrorists. He did that so good, they didn't read him the rights. They didn't talk. They were a terrorist. It was over.
Trump has made similar statements in the past. In 2014, he wrote on Twitter that Iraq was more dangerous then than it ever was under Hussein. The war was a mistake, as I said, from the very beginning. Bush and Obama should apologize, Trump wrote. However, in 2003, when American forces found Hussein hiding in a hole near the city of Tikrit, Trump appeared to support Hussein's removal from office. He told Fox News, "Some people agree and some people don't agree, but we are there. And if we are there, you have to take down Saddam Hussein. And they have done that. And they did it, maybe not as quickly as they thought in terms of finding him, but they found him. And that is a huge day for this country." Luqman Faley is a former Iraqi ambassador to the United States. On Twitter, he strongly criticized Trump's statement about Hussein. "As a diplomat, I tried to keep away from this. But as an Iraqi and a victim of Saddam's ethnic cleansing, I say get your facts first," he wrote. Hillary Clinton's campaign also criticized Trump. Jake Sullivan is Clinton's senior policy advisor. He said Trump's praise for brutal strongmen like Hussein demonstrate how dangerous he would be as commander-in-chief, and how unworthy he is of the office he seeks. In an interview with Fox News, Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan disagreed with Trump's comment about Hussein. "He was one of the 20th century's most evil people," Ryan said. "He was up there. He committed mass genocide against his own people using chemical weapons." Trump is not likely to be influenced by the criticism. Throughout the campaign, he has said he is the person who can best answer the actions of the Islamic State terrorist group in Iraq. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
North Korea released water from a dam near its border with South Korea Wednesday morning without warning. No major injuries or damage have been reported from Wednesday's opening of the Hongguk Dam. South Korea moved residents along the Injin River to higher ground. Officials are worried about flooding in areas already hit with heavy rain. South Korea said it does not believe that North Korea would take part in a flooding attack. But dam openings have taken place in the past. In 2009, North Korea released water from the dam without warning. That incident killed six South Koreans who were camping downstream. After that incident, North Korea agreed to tell South Korea before releasing water from the dam. But South Korea's news agency said the North also opened the dam's floodgates two times in May without warning. No injuries were reported in either incident. I'm Ann Ball.
Working parents in America are increasingly sharing child care. In other words, both mothers and fathers go to a business or office, and both take care of family members at home, especially babies. But the U.S. does not require employers to pay workers while they take time off to care for new family members. It is the only developed country in the world that does not mandate some kind of paid parental leave. Instead, working parents in the U.S. must negotiate for time off directly with their employers. But a few states, as well as Washington, D.C., are trying to change parental leave laws. The Lott family in Washington, D.C., is one of many families advocating for the U.S. to change its parental leave policies. Rob and Jessica Lott both have jobs outside the home. They also have a 12-month-old daughter named Shuli. When Shuli was born last July, both Rob and Jessica looked forward to spending time with her. They also needed to take care of her, and Jessica had to recover from childbirth. But Jessica's employer offered her just 4 weeks of paid leave. Rob's employer did not give him any. Instead, Rob used his vacation and sick leave to care for his wife and daughter for 2 weeks. He noted that these kinds of paid time off are not the same as parental leave. Certainly having a child is not vacation, nor is it a sickness, he said. Rob and Jessica Lott are part of a campaign to bring paid parental leave to all Americans, starting with those who live or work in Washington, D.C. Lawmakers here are considering a bill called the Universal Paid Leave Act. The act would require all businesses to give workers up to 16 weeks of paid time off to care for a family member or for themselves. To cover the costs of the program, every employer would contribute 1% of each worker's salary into a common pool of money. Joanna Blotner is the manager of the D.C. Paid Family Leave campaign. She said the program does not hurt small businesses because it spreads costs across the entire workforce. And she said businesses with fewer than 20 employees do not have to hold someone's job while he or she is away from work. That employee will still be paid for the time off, but each employer can decide whether to fill the position before the worker returns. Charles Allen is a local lawmaker and the father of a young child. He supports the legislation. Allen listened to Jessica Lott and other parents share their stories around a conference table in his office. We know that families will be stronger when you have this bill, Allen told them. The connection you get to have with your kid, that just makes a stronger family. But some people oppose D.C.'s family leave bill. Mark Freeman works for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He said the bill would be too financially difficult for employers. Our feeling is that employers provide leave as they are able to provide leave, Freeman said. Many do so happily, and if they can't afford it, then that's generally why they don't provide it. In addition, Freeman says, he believes the program will be more expensive than activists are saying, and he wants employees, not just businesses, to pay for part of the cost, too. Freeman notes he does not have the perfect solution. But he suggests that businesses should not be required to give employees paid time off. Instead, he says, businesses should be able to be flexible about what they offer and to benefit from leave programs, too. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is what's trending today. Lionel Messi is known for escaping defenders on the soccer field, but he was not able to escape a conviction for tax fraud in Spain this week. A court in Barcelona, Spain, sentenced the Argentinian soccer star to 21 months in prison on Wednesday. Messi plays for Barcelona's soccer team during the club season. He is the five-time winner of FIFA's Player of the Year award. Investigators in Spain said they found evidence that Messi and his father, Jorge, hid money that should have been taxed by the Spanish government. The younger Messi earned the money from 2007 to 2009. Tax inspectors said over $4 million of Messi's money went to accounts in Uruguay, Switzerland, and Belize. Messi was fined over $2 million. His father was fined about $1.5 million. Jorge Messi was also sentenced to 21 months. Neither man, however, is expected to spend any time in prison. In Spain, first offenses carrying sentences of less than 2 years are usually suspended. Both Messis told the court they did not think they were breaking any laws. The news about Messi was one of the top trending topics around the world on Facebook and Twitter on Wednesday. People made their feelings clear about Messi's actions. Zahid Sabour used Facebook to say, "You already have more than you can ever spend. Shame on you, Leo Messi." And many people questioned why Messi could not pay his taxes like everyone else. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Disasters almost always arrive unexpectedly. But there are computer apps to help people prepare for disasters. Some apps alert users when a disaster has taken place. Other disaster apps can be used when people need rescue or other help. The free Siren GPS mobile app connects users to emergency services at the tap of a screen. The app will let emergency workers know where the person in need is. The app works over cell networks, but it also works on Wi-Fi if cell networks are down after an emergency. Users can create a personal health report on the app to share with emergency services. This will provide information about medicines users take, allergies they might have, and other medical information important to treatment decisions. Guardly is an app that can help keep people safer in places such as businesses and universities. This app permits workers and students to report about unsafe conditions, suspicious activity, and more. Reports can be made to an organization's own security division, as well as to government emergency services. The reporter's location can be sent with the report, so security or emergency services help can arrive more quickly. The app works worldwide, and Guardly can even find people within buildings if the buildings are equipped with the right technology. Organizations can also use Guardly to notify users of danger or ask if they need assistance and more. This video shows how Guardly works. The app is free, but Guardly charges for its services. The Life 360 app provides a service to keep loved ones connected. Users can set up a network of people to share their location, chat, and get alerts when they are near someone in their network. People in the same network can use the app on iPhone and Android devices. The app helps users communicate when they are in a disaster. The location share function can be suspended when desired. The Life 360 app is free, with some services available for a fee. When a person is in a dangerous situation, the Red Panic Button app might help. This app can send a text message and/or email to chosen contacts providing the user's location. You can also add a voice or video message and/or photo to your text and email. This app can also be used to contact emergency services. Red Panic Button is free, but extra features are available for a fee. The Disaster Alert app is from the Pacific Disaster Center. It lets users know of disasters around the world when they happen. Alerts will be sent about volcano eruptions, earthquakes, floods, and more. Disaster areas around the world are shown on a map and reported in a list view. The app is free with paid features available. The free first aid app by the American Red Cross helps guide users in giving aid to injured people. The app can also help prepare for disaster with information to help plan for drought, flood, storms, and more. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
He has ridden a bike, received a medal, flown a kite, and learned the alphabet. He has even traveled into space. Since the Curious George series began in 1941, the beloved children's book character has also celebrated different holidays. The playful monkey took part in Christmas, Hanukkah, and Easter traditions. But in 75 years, Curious George had never celebrated Ramadan. Until now. George is taking part in the Muslim Holy Month in the new book, It's Ramadan, Curious George. An Islamic religious center in the state of Maryland, the Diyanet Center of America, held a public event for the new book. 8-year-old Amina expressed joy to have a popular character like George represent Muslims. When I see a monkey celebrating Ramadan and he does all this stuff, I am surprised, she said. Writer Henna Khan is a Pakistani-American and a Muslim. She shows George making food for late-night feasts. She also has George playing games throughout the day with his friend Kareem. This helps Kareem keep the daytime fast, a period of no eating. Later, while enjoying the peaceful sound of evening prayers, George breaks his fast with a sweet date. Later at the mosque, the famed monkey helps the imam prepare food and gather clothing for people in need. After a whole month of daily prayers, fasting, and giving to the poor, Curious George celebrates Eid al-Fitr, marking the end of the fast. Khan says the publishing company, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, invited her to write the book. It has published the Curious George series for 75 years. Khan said they found me because I had written two other books about Islam and Ramadan for kids. They asked me if I would be interested in doing the book, and of course I was overjoyed at the opportunity. Such a beloved character. To introduce him to Ramadan, and in turn, to be able to introduce so many children to Ramadan. Since the book's release in May, it has become a bestseller on Amazon.com. As this Ramadan comes to an end, Khan and Curious George remain busy traveling the U.S. in support of the book. More than 200 people showed up for Khan's reading of the book at the event in Maryland. Miriam is a local mother of five. She said she was pleased that the book helps explain Ramadan, especially to non-Muslims. Miriam said, "I am really glad they brought a book about the beautiful month that we are supposed to teach our children about from a very young age." I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.